Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. They have a monopoly on the bathroom. Let's be real, when they start selling wipes, it's over for everybody. What don't they have at Manscaped? It starts off, you know, with your body parts, your balls and your butt, but it's a lot more than that. They got everything in the bathroom, from the shower with body wash and shampoo and body buffers, to the beard. They have a phenomenal beard trimmer. They have beard combs, beard oil, beard conditioner, all that good stuff. And for your nether regions as well. They have a variety of packages that you can try out, from ones that go from the bathroom to your body to your hair. It doesn't really matter. They've got you covered. They've got a little something for everybody. If you're on the go, they have the go bag as well. They've got travel options. Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. You're always going to find a great deal when you use that code at Manscaped. What's up, you guys? Welcome to FIGHTFUL. It is January 8th, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. I am joined by Alex Pawlowski. You can see this fella on what is soon to be the best $6 a month or $64 a year in the business, FightfulSelect.com. He also hosts the NXT post show, which, listen, NXT, king of wrestling this week. If you listen to all preliminary ratings and apply zero additional context to it. Alex, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. I didn't get the memo that I guess was released today about the opening match on the card, so I tuned in and was like, "Is it my birthday?" Like, so surprise, Will Ospreay versus, I had no idea. Yes. Ospreay came out and he was ready to work, and I was like, "Oh, cool! I wonder who he will be wrestling." I never would have pictured it was going to be Buddy Matthews, and oh my God, we got what a classic, and with intrigue for the future. I'm very, very excited.
Plenty to talk about there. Guys, leave a thumbs up, get your super chats, get your humper chats in. We would greatly appreciate it. FightfulSelect.com. Right now, it's the best $5 a month in the business or $54 a month in the business. Those prices raise only for that tier to $6 a month or $64 a year at the end of the month. You can lock those in right now. We had three really substantial stories today, a pretty lengthy one about Hulk Hogan and that whole situation. And quite frankly, a person in WWE is like, you know, maybe we just have another wrestler pitch this beer instead of Hogan. like one guy was telling me, like, well, he doesn't have a monopoly on America or anything, but lots of stuff there. JoJo Offerman, who formerly was on Total Divas, was in WWE, actually wrestled at Survivor Series 2013, if you could believe that, at this point. Worked ahead of Collision. We had a story on Fightful Select. She's expected to be around a little bit more. It ain't ending there. I've got so many stories that I've got to write over the next couple of days. Like, I'm still backed up from all that. But my God, then we had an interesting story tonight that does play into tonight's show. So subscribe to Fightful Select. The Discord itself is worth it. Alex's Sour Graps is worth it itself. My Q&A is worth $6 itself. If you're interested in a free preview of that, I dropped a free preview of it on Monday to give you guys a little taste of what you might see there. But if you're here right now, leave a thumbs up. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. That's Humper Chats, H-U-M-P-E-R, chats.com. Because we got thousands of you guys that tune in via Twitch or Twitter, X, etc. And, of course, we want to send our love to, you know, all those in California that are being affected by the fires right now. I mean, I was talking to a wrestler earlier, and they were like, man, my car's covered in ash right now. Like, the whole house is smoky. Denise, you see her tweets. I talked to her earlier on, like, it's getting real scary out there, and we want to send send our love and just hope that things get better there for everybody. Uh, 2LT Photo jumps right in, says, I'd like to thank Netflix for the SGS.
Yeah, we got to thank Netflix. It's a major deal this week to thank Netflix for all the great things that Netflix has done for us.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
It was.
It would be something if I, like, you know, on arguably the biggest night in Fightful's history, the show, yes, I took time off. And I was like, I just want to bring Jimmy Van on.
Yeah.
And just thank him sincerely.
Yes.
And buddy, I'm going to go Squid Game on your ass, pal. It was something.
Yep.
It was interesting. thank you to Netflix for giving us Fightful. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Without Netflix, nothing would be possible.
Listen, this is a bit that I can get behind.
Okay, good.
There was one, oh my God. There was, I can't remember what show it was. It was like a pay-per-view. And it was just like, okay. This is well before Fightful. And I just remember somebody tweeting on Twitter. They're like, it's like 2013. And they're like, you know, I just really feel terrible for all the fans at the TD Garden who sat through this show. And after that, I was just like, man, like that never escaped. Anytime anything remotely tragic happened, I'm like, yeah, but what about those people at the TD Garden?
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Who went to Survivor Series? What about them? Yeah.
What about them?
How are they going to cope with this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Drop a fruit chat or fruit emoji in the chat. We would greatly appreciate that. You don't mind. Hey, if you're over on Twitter, go slap a retweet on the streams. You can go to the Fightful page and just, you know, slap a little retweet on the various streams that we have going on, because listen, that stuff blows up on Twitter. That's the one thing they do right, is they have a live on X tab alongside their thing. And it really helps us rack up viewers, rack up eyeballs. But by God, the thing that I know Alex wants to talk about, TV viewership. That's what Alex wants to
talk about. Yes. Oh, I need it. Let's go.
Seriously. Like there are a few things I wanted to bring up, because man, there is a whole lot of quite likely possible misinformation on TV viewership, which means progressively less every week. So yes, Let's start with AEW Dynamite last week. They held steady with their previous weeks. However, a couple of interesting notes. They didn't have their normal lead-in, but their lead-in was like half of what it usually is. That's interesting. They were on Max. That's how I'm watching now. I don't watch anything on YouTube TV. I'm about to cancel the damn thing. I watched on Max, which is interesting as well. A lot of people watching there. So those viewership numbers obviously skewed. A thing called Sambo TV dropped a viewership number for Raw, claiming it was in the 675,000 range, which I'm going to have to go out on a limb, a very bold, brave prediction here, and say, that ain't right. I'm going to have to go out there and say, nope, not happening. Then we got the NXT number, which is and was going to be one of their biggest numbers, period. However, I think that there's probably going to be some final numbers that are probably a little bit different. The reason for that is the Los Angeles market had news on during that period. And as we mentioned, there are wildfires going on right now. So those numbers from those news feeds actually counted towards NXT's number. Now, whether or not that makes a big difference or not, I don't know. I still expect it to be the highest they've had in 5+ years.
Right.
So just some context on that stuff, guys. But I can't wait to hopefully never talk about wrestling numbers again.
Oh, it'd be great.
And I won't be here next week. I got to find a fill-in. I will be in Cincinnati to see Kenny Omega's AEW return match. I'm pumped for it at this new venue. Alex, I bring this up because AEW, they ran Clarksville, Tennessee for the first time tonight. Mm-hmm. And I saw some people say, oh my gosh, I can't believe they have the arena. And I'm like, this is very common, like, to do. Like, it's, you're not, stop running the 7, 8, 9, 10, 16,000 seat arenas.
Right.
Run these 4 or 5 thousands. And yep. if you have to, have them up, create a more intimate environment, do that. I yeah. am really excited to not go to Heritage Bank Arena, which okay. has been run down for a long time, to this yeah. new music venue that is that they're running in Cincinnati. I'm so pumped for that.
That's cool.
I've never been to this place. I've never been to this place at all. And something to keep your eye on. But Alex, I've blue balled you long enough. Will Ospreay faced Buddy Matthews. And it was real good.
It was really good.
And I got to say, quite honestly, stuff like this is probably long overdue for Buddy.
Yeah.
And we won't talk about the post-match yet. I want to talk about the actual match so far, which when Buddy came over, this is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see him have slappers. You know, me personally, want him to get a push, but if he went like 0-18, but he had 18 insane slappers, like, listen, I want to see this guy have those matches. And this was a guy that I had to see. And this was a match that I wanted to see. But, Alex, how'd you feel about it?
I was elated that we were getting it. But when it started, I didn't think there was a chance we were going to get what we got. You know what I mean? Just because that's not how... I mean, even though the fans love him and everything, like, and Buddy is great, and we all know he's great. He's the guy who gives you 9.5 minutes of a sprint and he loses. And this just felt like a statement was being made. Ospreay is the kind of guy who's like, I think this guy's great. I want to give him a lot of stuff. I want to take a lot of the offense in this match. I want to have a dance with this guy as opposed to, you know, just making myself look good. And because he is that kind of wrestler, and because Buddy is so damn talented, they were able to make magic together. It's so overdue for this guy. I was championing seeing Buddy in the C2 this past year instead of Brody again. I love Brody, but he was in it the year before. I thought maybe you could have slid Buddy in his place and done similar great matches as well. I have been a crazy huge fan of this guy since he showed up in 205 Live, and I just started having amazing matches with so many of the guys down there. That feud, if it's still on Peacock, I don't know, things got scrubbed from Peacock. If 205 Live is still out there and it's on the WWE Network or Peacock or Netflix, wherever it is, when you're neck of the woods and you haven't seen his series of matches that he had with Mustafa Ali in the summer of 2018, you owe it to yourself to go and watch those. Some of the best stuff WWE has produced in the last decade happened in front of 45 sleepy fans after a SmackDown taping. Like, it's some of the best stuff they ever did. He was so good in that. And I kept thinking, hey, look how great he is. He's undeniable. Like, at some point, somebody's going to give him a real push. And he got signed by AEW, and they part of the House of Black. Loved him in that trios title reign. Loved what he's been doing. Every time he gets in the ring, there's an opportunity to have a match like this. He just so happened to have a match like that with somebody who is guaranteed to make any match he is in 35 to 40% better. So he just made Buddy even better by having that match with Will Ospreay. This was everything I could have wanted. There was no chance in my mind that Buddy was going to win. But he came close a couple of times. Really, really hung in there with what is, I mean, I think colloquially known as the best in the world. And Buddy was right there with him. What a match. What a match.
Lord Peter says, in the dead crowd's defense, how was anyone supposed to get excited without the Pointer Sisters? Am I right? I was shocked. Like, when we got the super chat, I even went back to make sure. And I was like, wait, where were the Pointer Sisters? And they didn't have the intro on tonight. So hopefully that's a sign that they are not continuing that whatsoever. I've heard a lot about that since then. And nobody thought that was a good idea. One person that I talked to or that I heard about thought it was a really good idea. James Stalling says there's people talking about AEW viewership like it really matters anymore. It's really annoying and stupid, SMH. It is. It means less than ever. And it's going to continue meaning less than ever. And I mean, they got their TV deal. They got their TV deal. Eric says, actually, was Dynamite interrupting something tonight outside of Osprey Buddy? I've heard hotter crowds at a funeral. So I've mentioned this. I don't know what they're how they mic stuff up, but AEW really needs to work on how they mic things. Specifically because, and I've asked this, it always sounds like there's an announcer clapping. Like during every entrance, you just hear directly behind an announcer. And it makes it sound like one person is clapping.
Yeah, it does. It does.
And I'm like, y'all got to mic this better. Y'all got to do better than this. Now, visually, AEW has done such a better job. I do wish they'd put the logo back on the mat. But other than that, I think that the show looks so much better right now, especially with things lit up. Osprey, Buddy Matthews, it was incredible. Now, it played into things later on in the night, Alex. But yeah, there was a thing that Dave Meltzer said that I think that it really hit home with me, and he's right. And he's like, you know, WWE has their baby face that almost never loses. It's Cody. Mm-hmm. AEW doesn't have that. They kind of had Swerve. He's sort of their anti-hero.
Yeah, sure.
And he wasn't getting pinned last year, except for rare occasions. But guess what? He got mega over too.
Yeah.
Hangman Page is, you know, pretty well the main character of the show of AEW, I think. Mm-hmm. And he is one of those unique characters who can lose, but his character becomes more interesting as a result. Yeah. I think you need that baby face, and you need a baby face that people organically love that rarely loses. And I think AEW's got two of them, and they squared off in the middle of the ring tonight to end that show. Will Ospreay has went from a guy that, like David Finley was tweeting, "You're the dumbest person I know, and I know Will Ospreay," to a person that fans universally love, especially this audience, Alex, because you know in his work, in his reaction, in his mood, that he loves this shit as much as everybody watching loves this shit. You know that he loves wrestling as much as anybody else does, and that's very identifiable. It's very endearing. Kenny Omega, I think, off to a great start, and we'll talk more about it later, because he's just like, no, I'm God. That's who I am. I am wrestling Jesus. So, I initially, Alex, didn't like the post-match speech here. Until a certain line got thrown in.
Yeah.
Because it seemed very patronizing at first. Like,
it, a little bit.
Buddy that I just beat up, you just hang in there.
So much so that I thought Buddy was going to take a swing at him.
Yes.
So much so that I thought, like, I was like, don't patronize me. We had this great match. I almost beat you. Don't treat me like a charity case. I thought that's where this was going until the line that you speak of.
Yes. And I was like, okay. But I listened to a little bit more, and he's like, you know what? You don't need to be in anybody's shadow. But, I mean, still him saying, you know, tag team gold in your future, maybe singles gold if you try hard enough. And I was like, But then he's like, if you need somebody in your corner, Buddy, I'm your guy. Which, great line, by the way. Mm-hmm. Shout out South Park. But this led to natural inquiry, and a subject that I don't like reporting on very much for obvious reasons. But I did ask around, and FightfulSelect.com did learn that Malakai Black is expected to be on his way out of the company if he is not already. His profile is still up on the roster page, but originally he had signed a deal, and Tony Khan himself, I just want to make that clear, Tony Khan himself on the radio said, yeah, I got him to like 2027. Last year I had heard, well, maybe the deal was amended or changed to where there was an out after 2024. I'm working to find out if he is out, because listen, there were some people saying that he was offered a conditional release once upon a time, which is basically you can't go to WWE, but you can still work indies and stuff if you want. That is something to keep your eye on, but that's great. And I listen, Buddy and Brody tag team title run, tag team. Listen, this tag team division tonight, by all intents and purposes, got a real boost with Hurt Syndicate and maybe Brody Buddy being involved. Eric says, great show tonight. First match was ridiculous as expected. Love the shine for Buddy afterwards. Every word was true. Was kind of hoping for a lights out. And then Alistair kicked to Buddy's jaw after Will's remarks. Really love the broadcast trio too. So like, I don't know if he's gone yet or if they're going to do a thing where like he comes back, puts somebody over, et cetera, anything like that. But yeah, he is expected to not be there. Let me see how he finished up. What was his last match? Because he is working this weekend, and I'm sure he's going to get on the mic in the middle of the ring and say something. His last match was losing the four-way at Full Gear, and then, the Kings of the Black Throne beat FTR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Chi-Town Spurs says, there was a ton to like tonight. First hour women's match, Omega Osprey stare down is brilliant, but man, there are way too many old dudes in big spots at the same time. 1-2 is fine, not 4-5. I'll ask Luis in the future to apply those to just any segment, but we'll get to those. I don't know. I didn't see too many old guy segments tonight. Am I missing something?
We'll talk. I think a lot of it is hangover from a Collision. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
Just in general, AEW can feel like it might be a little, you know, on the elder side occasionally.
Just Ricardo says we can thank Netflix, thank Stephanie for Women's Graps as well. Jake from Windy City says, sending love to everyone in LA. Terrible day today. It is a terrible day. Yeah. Crazy 101 says, is Speedball still headed to AEW? Yes, sir, he is. That is the plan. Also, prayers for LA. I mean, it was made abundantly clear to me by somebody in AEW like a while back that he was headed there and that his deal with TNA was not up until January 1st. JP says, felt like a really well-written show. I feel like things are coming together for stories to finally move forward and more of the talent. Yeah, I do too. I think there was some real progression there. Now, I was not ready for Swerve to be done with Hurt Syndicate. Like that, I can tell you this. That was not the plan for one match, and then they just move on. Like, so something happened there. But
yeah.
Speaking of, Private Party has a promo, and they're interrupted by the Hurt Syndicate, and they want the tag titles. Eric says, would have loved to have maybe seen the Hurt or the Syndicate Private Party segment in an actual club before Lashley's match. Could have done something cool with that. Didn't think I'd like the casino match as much as I did, but it was a good crowd, but it was really good. The crowd was meh. What'd you think about the Hurt Syndicate thing? Because right now there is not a spot for Bobby Lashley in the world title picture.
No,
but him being added to a tag team title picture, I think adds an awful lot of juice to it.
Yeah, listen, it gives me no pleasure to say this, but the Private Party thing is done. Like,
yeah,
it just, unfortunately, like, they waited too long to do the thing that we all wanted them to do, which was beat the Bucks for the titles. They finally did it 5 years later, and then they haven't. This is not at all on Private Party. This is just them not following up what we thought was a fantastic match to earn that title shot, and then a great match to beat them for it. And then we didn't do much of a follow-up, and I feel like that kind of hurt it. Like, there was a thing that took forever to get down to Top Flight, splitting off into Top Flight and what I call Rush to Action. Like, those two teams now are fighting, squabbling over whether or not they might be able to get a shot against Private Party. Private Party didn't seem like... So there are a lot of things. I am loath to be the guy who says, let's cut our losses and start over. I see a lot of people talking about that with Moxley. But I think that you could easily... A great story you could do is Lashley and Shelton Benjamin beating Private Party for those titles and giving them that short reign, and then actually actively telling the story of Private Party climbing back into contention and beating Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin to get the titles back. And at that point, hopefully you have some stuff lined up for them to do after they win the titles, because when they beat the Bucks for the titles, it didn't feel like they had a lot of stuff to do.
The what next is a problem for AEW.
It really is.
And, you know, I don't think the what next has to be a two-month period of them doing absolutely nothing. If you don't have anything, they can lose the tag titles. It's okay. Right. If there is no reasonable what's next, they can lose the tag titles and still have that moment. Stone Cold Steve Austin won the world title, and a lot of people don't remember that he lost that shit like 2 months later.
Yeah.
Like, he lost it 2 months later. And then again, like 4 or 5 months later. Like, it's okay if the booking is good. We've got Hearst Hill saying, thank you, SRS and Alex. I'm from California. Those wildfires are just insane. Please stay safe, my friend.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley. Go ahead.
The best man at my wedding lives out there in Malibu. He's had to evacuate, and they don't know what happened to the house. So, like, it's really bad out there. I have people out there, and it's horrible. So anybody who's out there is listening, like, our prayers are with all of you.
Bobby Lashley defeated Mark Briscoe. This is just a fun match to make.
Yeah.
Not one I ever expected to see. Ends about how you would expect to. And I think that Mark Briscoe is great in this because he's very sympathetic in many ways, considering, you know, his personal history. But also, he's very good at... He sells his ass off, just sells his ass off, and really did that here. And what I loved was how much MVP flipped out that he used the chair to do the dive over the top.
It wasn't even that. That was my favorite part of it. That might have been okay, and that was not necessarily what MVP was objecting to. It was the fact that Bobby Lashley goes out of the ring and has seen that Briscoe slid under the ring to hide from him, so he flips up in the apron, and he gets popped in the face with the chair from under the apron.
Yeah.
That is illegal. MVP is correct. He's just overreacting to it, and I thought that was a fantastic little bit of MVP yelling at everybody on the commentary desk, didn't you see that? That's illegal. He should be disqualified. And he, of course, he's right, but that's just not how wrestling works when it comes to Mark Briscoe.
Really, really good stuff here. A little bit more abrupt than the other matches, but I mean, this was to, you know, continue to establish Bobby Lashley, of course. No problem at all with this. First off, I didn't expect to see Bobby Lashley wrestling on Dynamite much.
Right.
I thought he would be like the pay-per-view attraction, but like, he wasn't even on the most recent pay-per-view, probably because of those aforementioned changes to creative that I had mentioned. But afterwards we get the Private Party Hurt Syndicate face-off, and what I love is commentary, especially Ian Riccaboni, who was phenomenal tonight, by the way.
It was great.
Phenomenal. In his, you know, rare Dynamite appearance, but they really established, like, no. MVP doesn't let his guys do this. He knows that money is to be made in the title fight, not getting hurt en route to the title fight.
Right.
James Stallings says, go ahead, sorry.
When you were talking about thinking that Swerve versus the Hurt Syndicate was going to go on longer, after that seemingly ended, they started up what I thought was going to be a Shelton Benjamin versus Daniel Garcia thing for the TNT title. And this match with Briscoe was part of that. Briscoe, Garcia kind of in league, even though they're competitors for the same title, they both don't like the Hurt Syndicate. I thought this was to send a message to Daniel Garcia that, we're going to take out your buddy, Mark Briscoe. We could do the same to you. But it wasn't Daniel Garcia who came out to save Mark Briscoe. It was Private Party. And it does seem like we're shifting Hurt Syndicate over to Private Party as opposed to doing Shelton versus Garcia for the TNT title. They still could do it, but it seems like they have moved away from that, where that was kind of a prominent thing during the C2.
Bobby White says, is there any news on Megan Bain? Would love to see Megan and Camille in the gauntlet match. I have no update on Megan Bain at all. I know that a few months ago, it was like September. I know that AEW had been in contact with her. She was no longer under contract. I am surprised that she is not either under an ID deal or something like that. Boy, did that ID stuff lose its buzz quick. Like we haven't heard much of anything. They dropped a match today, but haven't heard anything else. I have been asking about Camille. I would find it very surprising if she didn't appear again, but also like hypothetically, and I say hypothetically because I don't know her deal. Maybe she signed a 1-year deal. That might be up soon.
Yeah.
Like she wasn't used for a long time. It's very unusual.
It's true.
Any update on Eddie Kingston's return? Oh, with the type of injury that he had, assuming it was actually the injury that they said that he had and the extent of which he experienced, then he's probably going to be out still for a number of months. He got surgery in late May, early June. So, I mean, it's only been 6 months. He really messed up his leg. He really did. Oh, man. Christian and Hook video package. So I just want to say we unfortunately overlooked this on last week's show, Hook talking about this match. And I had mentioned this before. WBD had hit up Tony Khan, AEW, and they said, listen, January 15th, it's an important date for us. Something to do with advertising. I've had a lot of people ask why that is. It's something we had reported on Fightful Select, but that's why they added the Maximum Carnage branding. That's why Kenny Omega's return is on there. That's why a world title match is on there. A women's casino gauntlet match is on there.
Yeah.
And a fella who happened to be in one of the top rated segments of all of 2024, Hook, is on this show as well. His match with Samoa Joe was among the highest rated that existed on Dynamite. And he is a guy who... You know, we are years into his career at this point. Like, he's still young, so to speak. But, like, I think gone need to be the days of when he goes, like, 2.5 months without wrestling on TV. Like, unless you're going to treat him as a special attraction, like, by all means, first off, I think he should probably win this match. Assuming he is of contract for some extended period, he should. If like his contract is up in 2 weeks, maybe not. But Alex, I'm interested to hear what you think about this entire situation because I'm pumped for the match because you want Hook in there with guys like Christian Cage.
For sure. You can teach Hook a lot about a lot of stuff. As far as who I think is going to win the match, I feel like Christian Cage wins the match and Hook wins the war. That's a thing they've been doing a lot in AEW is the heel wins the match, but the babyface gets his heat back, which is not a thing they used to do a lot. But in this particular case, they did that with Danny Garcia and MJF, with Adam Cole and MJF. This kind of feels like a way that somehow KG Christian Cage, yes, that is an intended pun, will figure out a way to beat Hook, but Hook will get over on him afterwards. And my personal hope is that guy you mentioned, who we haven't seen for a while, Samoa Joe, maybe comes in at the end to like help out in the extracurricular activities on Christian Cage, because Samoa Joe and Hook with Shibata on camera and Google Translate was comedy gold. Those backstage segments were so great. I loved the energy they brought together. Like if Samoa Joe comes back and stays out of the Jericho vortex, like those three dudes together were a really fun act. If it's just Hook and Samoa Joe, they're a really fun act. They can work together in a lot of great ways. That's another fun tag team. Are you telling me if the Hurt Syndicate wins those tag titles that we wouldn't want to see a Samoa Joe and Hook program
I would like that too.
Lashley, wouldn't that be a fun tag program to do for like Double or Nothing or something? Do that,
Alex. I truly miss when you would move to the tag team division and it wasn't a step back; it was a step to the side.
Yeah,
like when Kenny Omega and Hangman Page were tag team champions, you were like, "Oh my God, okay." Like these are two main event caliber talent that are competing in the tag team division, and you didn't feel any less of it. And as a result, that really raised the profile for a lot of other teams. It made the Lucha Brothers seem more important. It made Jurassic Express seem more important. Yeah. It made Swerve in Our Glory seem more important. And we've seen what happened with Swerve since then as well. But I want that again. And if you add Samoa Joe and Hook, Buddy and Brody, regular, like full-time, and the Hurt Business to that, boy, that is quite the infusion. Now, I don't know what in the shitting fuck that means for the trios titles that are never on this show.
Well,
but at one point, this tag team division was so robust.
Right.
And this roster was so robust that they said, we gotta do trios.
Right. Yeah.
I am of the belief that they should have just made them world trios titles and they could chill on ROH when they needed to be.
Right. I think, yes. When they combined the two of them, I thought that was great. You can have them be on ROH for a while, then move them back over if you need to. But then they split them back up again, and that didn't make a lot of sense to me. So,
and now guess where those ROH trios titles are?
Yeah. Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Yeah. So my thing was, they've because Pac hadn't been on TV in a number of weeks, so maybe it was a thing where they were trying to figure out a way to wait for him to get back. And I think that now that he is back, we saw him later tonight. The Death Riders need to lose those trios titles.
Yes. Like,
I don't, I think maybe can Tony Khan could just make a trios title match for next week on Maximum Carnage. Rated FTR versus Claudio, Yuta, and Pac. Have Rated FTR win the trios titles while Mox is off doing his thing with the guy who won the casino tonight. We'll talk about that later. And then you have those guys. And then we saw tonight the full reunification of the Undisputed Era of what they can actually do as a trio, which I'm really excited to watch. And if they end up being the trios division and they win the trios titles down the line, then you can actually do some stuff. The problem with it is that I was actually excited for Claudio, Yuta, and Pac to win the trios titles in August, and then they didn't do anything with them since. Like, that's a problem. We put the titles on a trio that we want to see wrestle, and then you don't have them defend the titles. That's the problem. It's not the fact that the titles exist. It's that the fact that you're not doing anything with the people who currently own those titles.
Reminder, guys, leave a thumbs up. Get your super chats and humper chats in. Yeah, we do a lot of thanking Netflix, and we actually can thank Netflix here, Alex, for acquiring internationally all of the WWE rights, because that helps out our audience an awful lot, especially when they have NordVPN.com/Fightful. I got to admit, I wondered what this new year would mean for NordVPN and Fightful. It means great things, apparently.
Yes.
Because you get NordVPN.com/Fightful, get big savings plus 4 months extra, 30-day money-back guarantee, 24/7 tech support. But you can do what I do now. I just switch my VPN, my virtual location, to the UK, to Canada, wherever, and I have access on my Netflix account that I am already subscribed to.
Yeah.
To Raw, without commercials, mind you.
Yeah.
NXT, SmackDown, and the PLEs. So for the price of what you're paying for 1 month of cable, you can get 2 years of NordVPN, and then some, by the way. I was sitting there watching Raw on my normal location, and then commercials hit, and I was like, what are you talking about? I'm paying $22 for the premium 4K gimmick over here, which, by the way, Alex, you're allowed to put on your invoice.
Nice.
But I was like, hey, Jimmy Van's paying good money for this. What's going on with these commercials? And then I was like, let me switch over to the UK. And I did. and those commercials were gone. Got to hear Pat McAfee in all of his glory saying that Paul Heyman was pooping his pants over Solo Sikoa. It's fantastic. Wonderful stuff. NordVPN.com/Fightful. They have a gaggle, I think that's the right term, of other features. But listen, I'm doing a lot of traveling. I'm going to Toronto next month. I'll be using that NordVPN.com/Fightful. Truly versatile. I think you guys know by now that I am big on NordVPN. And Knock Bogan says, thank you, Netflix, for giving us Sean's baby face fire. Late to the review, and that bit is so old. Long live dead bits. No. Listen, I love the baby face fire. I'm going to come out here and go, come on, you guys. Let's go. Let me hear you. And then what I'm going to do
is
I don't make any noise. I'm going to go to the corner and go.
Yes.
For a lockup is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
God, I almost forgot about that one. Mike says, Sean, do you think Tony's been happy with the Hurt Syndicate? They've been great. Age shouldn't matter when you look and move the way those guys do. Yeah, it doesn't matter when you look and move the way those guys do, which I have long thought that that type of thing is overrated. Like, listen, me and Lady Frost joke about her age because WWE 5-6 years ago told her she was too old. And I'm like, well, that's stupid. If you could have got 5 years out of Lady Frost, you'd have probably done really, really well with her. Because she's great now. And to me, and I'm glad that WWE, especially in the last 10 years, like, I don't think that they were expecting to get a decade out of AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Like, but they realize, you know, if we get 3 or 4 really good ones out of him. Men, if you've lost your hair, it does not mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who have found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. It makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose between personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. There are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's HIMS.com/Fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. That's HIMS.com/Fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's worth it. But yeah, I think he's been happy with the Hurt Syndicate. Where is Stokely? He's just taking time off. And why did they drop Swerve and Bobby? That I don't know, but they clearly did. But I'll tell you what they didn't drop. Powerhouse Hobbs. So listen, Alex. Fightful strategically posted today.
Yes.
A describe Hobbs in 3 words or less graphic. Not gonna say why I had that one put together and dropped at 3 p.m. But a lot of people said underutilized, underused, needs a push, needs opportunity. Well, a lot of people seemed pretty happy with this. Now, this is a match that had Switchblade Jay White, Wrestle Kingdom main eventer, AEW pay-per-view main eventer, Hangman Page, the main character of AEW, Ricochet, who is in the midst of a revolutionary push for himself.
Yeah.
Adam Cole, who has main evented AEW's biggest show ever.
Yeah.
Daniel Garcia, TNT champion. You know, then you got Roderick Strong, Lance Archer, Kyle O'Reilly. They're there. Jeff Jarrett, who got attacked. Wheeler Yuta, who's getting involved in a top story.
Mm-hmm.
But Powerhouse Hobbs ends up winning.
Yeah.
JP says the battle royal was amazing. TK threw the house at it and feels like everyone in the match gained momentum. There were a lot of story beats involved here. Some of it I looked at and I was like, oh, okay. The winner, I think, was a very good idea.
Great choice.
I'm interested in how you feel about this and just anything else you just want to heave at the wall with these like 10 or so competitors that were involved.
Number one, I thought it was inspired to start with Jay White and Hangman, because I love that's a chicken and Peter type of thing. These guys also hate each other and will forever. Yuta being there kind of was like to just, I'm going to stop. Yuta being there is like, I'm going to stop the guy that Mox doesn't want to face for the title. And that guy is Jeff Jarrett. And that's funny to me. When Ricochet came in with playing Swerve's music, that was because the fans were super excited because they thought he was definitely going to miss the gauntlet because he got, stabbed in the head with scissors a bunch of times. And no, it's Ricochet. And also, I love Hangman hearing that music and going, oh my God, I don't want to go to that place again. I don't like that's a thing. Like, I feel like that's a thing with Hangman, is that he's put that in his rearview mirror. He's still got a whole bunch of stuff he's got to work through, but that is the thing he's done with. And he would have to face this guy, but instead it's Ricochet. And so, like, having, like, psyching himself up for 2.5 seconds and then being like, you son of a bitch. And that was great. Ricochet is excellent. This newfound heel thing is great. Then we get Adam Cole coming in. We get a little bit of that Adam Cole and Ricochet thing from that legendary NXT title match that they had. There was some of that. We finally get to see Kyle and Roddy and Adam working together, doing three tandem offense on guys. That's really fun. Like, this felt like it was a bunch of heavy hitters. Daniel Garcia is the TNT champion. He comes in. He gets to do work with some of these guys. This felt like it was if you're going to do the prize for this is a world title shot, then I believe that in kayfabe backstage, there should have been a vetting process for that. I'm so happy we didn't see, no offense to these guys, but think about how they are presented whenever they're on TV. I'm so glad we didn't see The Butcher or Evil Uno or Brandon Cutler or whatever. Like, because sometimes when you do these casino gauntlet matches, you have guys to come in and just bump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this felt like all of these guys wanted a world title shot and would have been judged by the back as being worthy of said title shot were they were to win it.
And I think that's... Like, I'm okay if they ever do, like, casino battle royal or casino ladder, sure. Those types of people being involved in it. I think the casino gauntlet should kind of be their premium thing.
Especially if it's for a title shot at the world title, 100%.
Yes. And they do it far too much. They definitely use it as a crutch an awful lot, which it's good for them. But we're going on 5 in a year. I could see them making it a big PL or pay-per-view match where they could say it doesn't end until this many people are involved.
Yeah.
But part of me is like, oh, but people could be eliminated before then. And I'm like, okay, then you start to get in the King of the Mountain territory of like adding rules and stuff. But I think this is how it should be. Unless they do a thing the week before where it's like a battle royal to get into the gauntlet type of thing, where then you could have somebody. What I love about Hobbs winning is that when you have these big names like that, you sometimes have to have a guy like Hobbs who has not had that push win this type of match. That's why I've been like banging the drum over on WWE for like, okay, don't debut Roxanne Perez before the Royal Rumble. Have her as an NXT talent.
Yeah.
Win the Royal Rumble. And then you can forever say in your little Royal Rumble by the numbers, an NXT talent won. They couldn't hold off for Asuka to do it a few years ago. But it's one of those good things that, you know, audiences get conditioned. Sometimes it's good to condition your audience to not assume. And I love Hobbs. I love Hobbs. And afterwards he straight up said, I'm going to make Moxley my bitch. And I believed every word of it. I'm sitting here thinking, what's Moxley going to do? How's he going to handle this?
Well, this is the other thing is that, when he went out with the injury, it was in a match versus Jon Moxley. Like that right there is enough of the story that you need to like make this make sense. Like this is, that's a great extra little beat to it. And of course Moxley, who's a veteran and knows his way around a ring, is going to try to go after the knee. Cause that's, he knows that's there. There's a lot of stuff there. Also, I want to highlight Archer and Hobbs just playing catch with Ricochet was one of my favorite things because Ricochet sells so well when he takes those giant beals. That was a lot of fun. I also like Archer in it because they also mentioned this, that Archer has had those amazing matches with Moxley in Japan and in AEW, those Texas Death matches. So he, although he's lower on the card than a lot of these other guys would be, he absolutely has the history with Mox that would make a world title match interesting to watch. And the guys backstage deciding who gets to be in this, they would weigh that and get him into this match. Jeff Jarrett coming out to be immediately like fought backstage by Wheeler Yuta, so Jeff Jarrett never even gets into the gauntlet. Was definitely an interesting little piece of this. But then you know we follow that up with this the in-ring promo.
We got 2LT photo saying I'm in the bags for strapping Hobbs last week. Listen, buddy, whatever you want to do on your own time. Terry Allen Jr. says behavior transformation of Ricochet enjoyable. And N. Simmons says Ricochet was my MVP for this match, not because he was beating people up, because he sold his ass off all night, getting beat up by the Hobbs and Lance toss around UE or, so and UE beat down was funny. Like, yeah, you feel like his character believes that he ended Swerve Strickland as well. Yes. Like he's got no worries. He's like,
no,
I killed him. He's dead. He ain't ever coming back.
That's right.
And he's now like, I feel like his character is trolling Hangman. Like, look, buddy, I did what you couldn't do. I got rid of him in one night with a pair of scissors. Like you imagine what I could do with some construction paper. Like I got rid of him. Mm-hmm. And now he's like so egotistical. It's so good.
It's good.
After this, Jeff Jarrett comes out, cuts a promo, and he's wondering if he still has it. He's interrupted by MJF, and MJF it basically reveals the terms of Jeff Jarrett's contract. And I felt like this was a good plot point to add to it. MJF is like, well, you wanted to sign for much longer, but AEW only wanted you for a year. And that was a charity case because they know that this is the most you've got left in you.
Right.
So you got to get this done within a year and I'll help you accomplish your dream if you give me the first title shot. And MJF does that because one, he doesn't have to do the hardest part, which is actually winning. And he has full confidence in himself that he could easily dispose of Jeff Jarrett. But he also knows that he is the true devil and he can make things happen. How'd you feel about this segment, Alex?
Well, he offers to help him. He does a lot of, backhanded compliments, you know, you did all these great things. I mean, I don't care about any of that. Apparently one of the greats, but you've got nothing left in you. And there's zero chance you can win the world title. He says, none of these guys who were in the Casino Gauntlet match with deserve that title. But you do, because you're one of the legends. So there's no way you can win this title on your own. So I'm going to help you. And when I do, you give me the first title shot. And Jarrett says, no, you can go to hell. So yeah. That is going to piss off MJF. And I don't know what the future holds, but MJF goading Jeff Jarrett into putting his career on the line in a match just feels like a thing that MJF would do. I don't know if we're going to take the full year to get to that point, but maybe it's a thing where they do it early as kind of a surprise. I don't know. I honestly don't know, but that feels like a thing that MJF would try to do because he does not like being turned down for this. What he feels is an excellent opportunity. So, I'm fine with this. Jeff Jarrett not having a title shot right now, which I like. And I think that MJF, insinuating himself into the retirement angle of Jeff Jarrett makes a lot of sense for MJF's character. So we'll see where it goes from here.
I also like the idea of MJF doing like the devil, you know, story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's often a thing that I've said should appeal him to some of the members of the roster where they at least prefer him because he's a piece of shit that they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. In that sense, Eric says, thought the Jarrett Max segment was solid. Was a little surprised at the lack of pop from the crowd when Max came out, but again, crowds can be different. So this crowd was mic'd like shit. It was really mic'd badly. Says the Death Rider story is cooked for me. Hate that they dropped the ball at this story and love Harley. I don't know that this story was ever going to be one that I was going to like. This place sucks. Stories rarely are good. Yeah.
Unless you're willing to do some serious kayfabe organizational upheaval. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're not willing to actually do that, to do something on screen that is radically different from what it has been, then they're going to fall flat. And the problem, the thing I have with it is it's hard for me to say anything with Moxley at the head of it is entirely cooked for me because I really enjoyed his promo on Collision as well. But the amount of excitement I had coursing through my veins when Moxley gave the first promo after taking out Danielson, the one in the parking lot where they edited over them exiting the ring and they cross paths with Danielson on the stretcher like that. I was so amped for what I thought this could be that it took me several months to realize that they're never ever going to do anything as great as what it appeared they were going to do, which makes me sad because a lot of the people Claudio, Pac, Yuta, Moxley, obviously, and Marina Shafir, who we haven't even gotten to see wrestle a match yet. I was really excited to see what those guys were going to do taking over the place, and they just didn't. And that makes me sad that they didn't do that. So,
James Stalling says, actually, I'll read Dante's. It says, Jeff Jarrett's deal with the devil storyline is good so far. Cope's storyline is okay. Having these two things back to back slowed down the show. I agree with that. I would not have had these match or these back to back. I would have put the women's match here. I mean, you had a lot of talking on this show.
There was a lot of talking.
There was a lot of it, and you had one really long match, but I would have split it up a little bit and had a little bit of something else. But, I mean, also, like, gosh, you had Ospreay talking. You had Jarrett and MJF talking. You had Copeland talking. You had Kenny and Ospreay again. So
the problem with this is that both the Jarrett moment and the Cope moment had to be after the Casino Gauntlet. So you could either do the Casino Gauntlet first.
Yeah.
Or because Jeff Jarrett has to have lost, not won the gauntlet to do his promo that MJF interrupts. And if you're going to end the Copeland segment the same way with Will Hobbs coming out, basically like, I'm going to get you next week, then that has to be after Will Hobbs won the gauntlet. So like, that's the problem, is that they didn't have enough show left. And either that or you do after the women's match, you do Copeland and then Kenny. I just feel like you can't end with two talking segments back to back. Too bad.
James Stallings says, I'll never understand how WWE didn't push Ricochet more. It's mind-boggling to me. Ricochet is really good. Glad he's in AEW. We're starting to see him stretch his legs. And listen, he's going to have longer matches in AEW than he's had in, gosh, probably five or six years now. I can't remember him having many WWE matches that were like over 12, 13 minutes, maybe King of the Ring against Elia. And I think he maybe had a couple like that hit the 14 minute range.
Yeah.
I don't think he had many that hit 15 minutes. He's going to get really an opportunity to stretch his legs.
Yeah.
With the rated FTR promo. I'm kind of over Copeland talking already.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get it that, like, you know, you took out Darby, you tried to take out my boys FTR, so I'm coming after you. And I get all that. It just feels like the Copeland and Jericho stuff from Saturday just felt very tiresome to me. And not just because of Jericho, just felt like, okay, so yeah, hey, I remember you guys facing each other 20 years ago. Isn't that great? Like, I'm not a nostalgia guy in wrestling. I want to see more of the future than I do of the past. As a general rule, there's certainly some things like Shelton Benjamin getting a renewed look right now makes me happy. But I think there's so much more you can be doing with the world title than a Copeland program, as evidenced by how excited I am for this Will Hobbs one-off, probably a one-off. There's a lot of other stuff you could be doing there. This Copeland, I love the idea of Copeland and FTR coming together and saying, we're going to keep Yuta, Pac, and Claudio busy so Moxley doesn't have backup against another talent. Like, that makes sense to me. Them going after the Trios titles to screw with Moxley makes sense. These older guys, like, taking somebody under their wing to help them out, that makes sense. Copeland coming back for the world title, I'm not really interested.
Hobbs does make the save here. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, to build that up, yeah. And I will say Moxley sold it really well. He looked very disappointed that Hobbs remembered that he had a match.
Yes.
Luis lets us know his last, Ricochet's last match over 14 minutes was in March on the Raw that The Rock made Cody bleed in the rain. There you go.
Wow.
Mariah May is cutting a promo about the Casino Gauntlet next month or next week. And Harley Cameron rolls in. She's phenomenal. And I'm so glad she's getting time on Dynamite.
She's so great.
And she's pitching a match against Mariah. And Mariah's like, you're not getting a world title shot. You don't win. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, just a match. We'll call it Hot Girl Graps. And then Mariah May's like, yeah, I kind of fucking like that idea.
I like Hako Graps. That's good.
She's like, that's good. and she does her catchphrase and intimidates Harley. Harley mumbles under her breath her feel the wrath of Harley Cameron catchphrase. Listen, Harley Cameron, we mentioned it last year. She got thrown into the deep end and she swam. She really swam her way back to shore and she has emerged. One of the most entertaining acts on this show. All for it. Love it. She's wonderful.
Michael McCormick had the same idea in the chat that I did, that getting Harley Cameron just offering to run interference for Mariah May, like being her hanger-on. Like, Mariah May doesn't really love her, but like Harley Cameron is like, I'm going to help you out, champ. I like you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially if we're going to do a big angle for Mariah May at Grand Slam. I don't think Harley Cameron probably doesn't have a match there, but having her be part of the women's world title angle would be a lot of fun. Like, she would be a comedy sidekick for the main villain would be really fun. And Mariah May being so pissed at her every time she screwed up would be a lot of fun.
I would love it if they have a relatively, I don't want to say abrupt, but like their match went like 6 minutes and was very decisive. Harley Cameron tries to do the same type of thing that Ospreay was doing with Buddy.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I really respect you. You earned my respect tonight.
Maybe sometime down the line, I see tag
you
gold
cut
in your future.
The promo verbatim.
Yeah.
That yes. I cut tonight. Yes. You know, there could be singles gold in your future if you try hard enough. And Mariah's I'm the champ. I would love it.
Mariah Matthews. I mean, Mariah May. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Tom LaValle says Harley has been a revelation. Feel the wrath. She's great. And then we had a fun number one contender match. Chris Statlander defeated Toni Storm and Willow Nightingale. I guess you could call it the catapult here was phenomenal. Willow Nightingale catapults Tony's face directly into the crotch of Chris Statlander, which caused Excalibur to literally wheeze on commentary. He was like, how has that spot never happened that I've seen before? Chris winning, I think this is good. Tony is very clearly going to win the Casino Gauntlet next week and get that title shot in Australia. But there's no reason for her to win the week before that if you can go ahead and get a win for Chris Statlander as well. So I think his booking was pretty good.
Yeah. Jay White won the Casino Gauntlet number one spot last week, but he didn't win the gauntlet this week. So I enjoy, I also loved afterwards Toni Storm being interviewed. Like, I just don't think I've got it. I just don't think I have it right now. I mean, I'm not ready yet. I'm just not ready yet. Like, her being down on herself, she got pinned in this match, adds another wrinkle to this character. I'm very excited to see where this all goes. I'm of two minds on this. I kind of wish they didn't do the Casino Women's Gauntlet, the first ever Women's Casino Gauntlet, for a title shot where we know who's going to win. You know what I mean? Like, tonight was a lot of fun because I did not think Will Hobbs was going to win. I didn't know who was in it. We know, I think, for a fact, that Toni Storm is winning the gauntlet, which kind of takes the surprise out of it. And I would love to see a women's gauntlet the first time ever where there's all these top women in it and you have no idea who's going to win. Maybe it's a surprise. In this case, I think that we kind of all expect Toni to win, which maybe takes away that element. But I think the match should be a lot of fun. I'm really excited. They're finally doing one for the women. I'm
pumped to go to this Dynamite next week.
A lot of fun.
Like, I'm very excited to go to this Dynamite next week. I'm like, damn, they're putting on a fun show there. Like, we're not talking like Raw and Netflix debut, like PLE matches or anything, but I can see Kenny Omega come back, Casino Gauntlet, get to see a world title match. Yeah. I'm excited for it. Bobby White sends a very generous super chat. Thank you so much. He says, not a popular opinion for AEW, but thoughts on a brand split for 2025. Think it'll help with better stories instead of having all the top stars on Dynamite and whatever on Collision. So I'm passionate about this for many reasons. I covered SmackDown back in the day when there was no brand split, and it was just the same shit that happened on Raw and they wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
I understand that some people sort of feel that way about Collision, but they did build to a ladder match tag team title like this, like for Collision. Like they have done stuff like that. I don't think it is just whatever on Collision. I think because it's on Saturday night and nobody watches it, relatively speaking, that's why you feel that. I am willing to revisit this in May, June, whenever the WBD deal with the NBA is officially up. Because if I were TBS and TNT, I would be wanting to run Dynamite Wednesday, Collision Thursday.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, that doesn't spread it out in the week that well. Well, WWE did it with Raw and SmackDown, and it worked out fine.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out great. And I feel like if they weren't doing a brand split when they had CM Punk, they aren't going to now, especially when you've lost CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, and Sting. That is those three pretty big anchors. Any thoughts on that, Alex?
I think you can do a soft brand split. where a lot of the same, a lot of the storylines happen on the same show. Like you get the matches that correspond to that storyline only on Wednesdays or only on Saturdays. But then after that little storyline is done, the person who was involved in that storyline can switch back over to Wednesdays from Saturdays, if that's the way it works. I think there's a ways of doing that that could be fun. I also feel like, maybe this is just me being too literal, I feel like the TNT champion should be on Saturdays and the TBS champion should be on Wednesdays. Like, there's no reason to switch them. Like, you know, like the TNT champion, the TNT title matches, if they're ever on TV, should only be on the Collision show, because that's on TNT. And if there's ever a TBS title match on television, that should only be on Wednesdays, because that's TBS, that's Dynamite. I just feel like that may be a way to, like, kind of even things up a bit. You can kind of move the divisions around if you want to, but maybe the people aren't brand split, but the title pictures are brand split, considering there's so many titles. Maybe that's something to help out with that, but I don't know.
N. Simmons says, my main problem with AEW is they basically summed up in this women's title picture, waiting for Tony Mariah 2 should have happened and is hurting Mariah's run. Right now, Monet is the bigger champ. There's nothing wrong with Mercedes being the bigger champ in some degree, because right. It is. They have always presented it as world title.
1-1A, yeah.
I don't agree that it should have already happened with Tony and Mariah, too. Like, I like this story arc for Tony. However, they should have had something way more substantial and creatively satisfying for Mariah May up until they got to the Mina thing, which finally became that. Like I have always said, the okay, what now needs to be there. You absolutely need something there. And I agree with you. So I don't necessarily agree that it should have happened, but I do agree that they should have had something there for her already.
Yeah, I did not. It felt like they wanted to do the Mina thing right afterwards, but they got something hung up maybe with visas or something. I'm not sure, but she was off. She was out of the country for a while. And then they just kind of, I liked the stuff that happened with Anna Jay, but nobody ever believed Anna Jay was winning the title. And so there's some other stuff they could have done. It does feel like when they, obviously everybody who's can think far enough ahead circles that the Australia pay-per-view for the Toni Storm and Mariah May rematch, having Toni Storm return when she did. And I am willing to let this storyline with Toni Storm play out, but she's going to win the casino gauntlet and get the number one contendership, and she'll have at that point a month. Is she going to remember who she is during that month, or is she going to figure it out while she's having the match versus Mariah May? Like, I'm really intrigued to see how they handle this, because it feels like there are more ways to get it wrong than there are to get it right. And I want to see how they do that dance. And I think Mariah May is great and has done everything she could possibly do to make the reign feel good. It's just that they're not putting her in positions where as great as she is, it can do a lot of help.
Bill says new multiverse versions of Tony every month would be quite entertaining. Listen, she could pull it off. She could certainly pull it off. I've really liked her doing this and them like filming these segments where she's going around getting catering, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
reminder, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. Kenny Omega comes out. So good to see him. And he's the wrestling god. He's calling himself. They're calling him. And he says, you know what? There's things that maybe I can't do now that I used to be able to do, but I'm no longer motivated by money or power. I'm motivated by being the best.
That's great.
Oh, shit. I really liked this, Alex. And this is how people have been saying over the last couple of weeks, this is how you need to present Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Like how he was. And this is how they need to present Kenny Omega. As the wrestling god, as the guy who was so good that they largely built the start of a company around him, Alex.
Yes.
How'd you feel about this?
It did feel like with Kenny, they were like, well, we have a lot of other people that we want to make sure feel like big stars. So let's keep Kenny, like have him do stuff. When he was finally champion, they turned him heel. We didn't actually get a chance to really root for him. So like, there's a lot of like this, you make him your top guy. And I feel like that there's a way to delineate that. They, regardless of what I'm not a huge fan of the Cody character. He's not really for me, but they have delineated him as their top guy with the way they present him, the way how they have him move and act, and the way the promos and everything, the matches. He's their top guy. Delineate somebody as your top guy. It doesn't feel like it's Mox, even though he's the champion who murdered Bryan Danielson in the middle of the ring. Like, doesn't feel like him. So you can make Kenny Omega your top guy, the baby face we all want. Ospreay is so damned unselfish. He's just this guy who wants to have great matches and pal around, and he's fine. I think Ospreay will be the world champion one day. But I think if you asked Will, you're going to have me like a 6-time international champion. Is that cool with you? That's fine, bruv. Like, he doesn't need that thing. So like make Kenny into the guy, best bout machine, the wrestling god. Do it. If you can do it from here on out, let's see what it happens. I'm very excited to see where this little angle is going, because I love that Don Callis coming out to be like, welcome back. And then Kenny's like, I'm going to murder you. Because that's never gone away. That's never gone away. And Don Callis has the entire family at his disposal. Got Takeshita, who he's got history with. Kenny does. You got Cage and Archer, who are great big bruisers who can take bumps and eat pins and multi-mans and stuff, but be really good at what they do. You got Cal Fletcher, who's the future, and Kenny basically declaring war on them and having someone at his side in Will Ospreay who can back him up. Like a two-man power trip of baby faces that we love and want to root for because they're just so damn good. That's something that you could build all of AEW around for the next calendar year. And I don't think anybody would mind Ospreay and Kenny Omega just being awesome, and getting to watch them do stuff would be so great. Here's the other thing about this. I don't know if this is in the cards, but that thing that Will Ospreay did with Buddy Matthews, to me, is him saying that, like, I've got your back if you ever need me. If Buddy, yeah. if it comes down to it, it's Kenny and Will together, and they're being beat down by four or five guys. Maybe if the guy who comes out and helps them is Buddy. I mean, maybe Brody comes with, but like, that's a really cool thing to like have, basically like Buddy getting involved as well to be their third. Would, even if it's just for a match or two, would make me very, very happy.
And I would also like to see Kenny Omega face Buddy. Yeah. Willow calls that move the Nissan, which is innovation that excites.
Okay.
There we go. Kylie says, Omega's new theme is a remix of Find the Flame, which is a song from Final Fantasy 16, but in itself is a remix of a battle of a theme from Final Fantasy 7. This has been Kylie's nerdy fact of the day. FYI, I like the theme, cool as heck. I know that they worked really hard to make that entrance and everything a reality. The guy that put together that entrance and put together, I mean, Ospreay's entrance last year, put together David Finlay's Wrestle Kingdom entrance. Like, there's like one guy that goes through and does all this stuff for New Japan and has done a phenomenal job. Ten Ruza says, Omega Kid 2 at Forbidden Door with the UK crowd, please. Boy, that match was something special. I just love the way it was built. And a lot of times when you're talking to Gabe Kidd, you're like, is he just waffling? Is he just saying shit to be saying it? And then you go and you see and you're like, oh, he did this whole... No, actually, Kenny Omega ran from the grind. He's the guy that ran from the grind. And after years of he and the War Dogs running roughshod over New Japan, he takes off his stuff and he's got a New Japan logo slapped on his fucking leg, and he's there doing Inoki's moves. Ooh, like, listen, man, can't tell me that wasn't beautiful storytelling. That was outstanding. That was art. Adalia says, really enjoyed Dynamite tonight. Everything flowed together really well. I'm so happy Kenny's back. I am too. Yeah. I am too. Bale says Dynamite was good. Wish they'd start building towards Grand Slam as it's the next pay-per-view. I mean, kind of. It's like a special event. Says, yeah. I'm not sure if it's even a pay-per-view anymore, but yay, Kenny's back. I don't know if it ever was, because it won't be. I don't think it will be sold. Like, I mean, listen, guys, brace. I fully expect pay-per-views to remain a similar cost on Max. I don't know that for sure, but I think that basically whatever the cost of Max will be deducted from the full cost of a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. But I don't think that this event will be like that. N. Simmons says, it was no diss to Monet. She's one of my favorite women's wrestlers. So happy she's a champ. Disrespect towards her last year was crazy and racist at times. N. Simmons, I did not take that as as that. And Luis, I'm going to need you to find this one, buddy. He says, I didn't take that as anything remotely like that. Like, I agreed with you on that point. Like, I thought it was a very good super chat, humper chat, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. But we are going to find Lupongi Vice's humper chat. Don't you worry about that, my friend. But again, leave a thumbs up here. Alex, tell the people what you got going on.
Well, we have now 3-hour SmackDowns and no Rampage. So last week we did a review after SmackDown was over. I think this week we're going to try reviewing the first 2 hours of SmackDown while watching the 3rd hour of SmackDown, going back to the original time slot, but just a whole new thing. Being able to watch, because if we'd done that last week, I would have reacted to Tiffany Stratton becoming the world champion, women's world champion in real time. So let's see. Maybe there's some fun stuff to see on SmackDown main event slots going forward. We're going to try that. Also, this weekend, Sunday evening, it's the next episode of This Is Cinema with me and Miss Kate Fabe. Kate, we are going to review the 1980s post-apocalyptic classic Hell Comes to Frogtown, starring Rowdy Roddy Piper. It is a crazy movie. It is a movie that, by all rights, probably should not exist. It is nuts. It is available to
I'm
stream
I'm excited
for free.
To see that.
It is available for free to stream on Tubi. So go watch it before Sunday when you'll see me and Kate react to it.
You going to watch this new Jericho Shudder movie, Dark Match?
I think there's no way I'm going to be able to avoid it. I think I hate myself just enough to watch that movie. Fair. Yes.
Lupongi Vice says, it's my birthday. Happy birthday, Lupongi Vice.
Happy birthday.
Says, we would have loved a Buddy Matthews win as a present, but Kenny is a wonderful consolation. You think we're setting up Kenny versus Kyle at Grand Slam? That'd be super neat. It would be super neat. I would actually really, really like that. I think that is a good idea, but listen, Kenny got to win that match. Kenny doesn't need to lose at all.
That's the thing. Yeah, and he shouldn't be losing to Kyle, unfortunately.
And I mean, I say that thinking that Kyle is absolutely the future, but
right.
Kenny and Ospreay, I don't want to see him lose for a long time.
Long time.
We have JP saying it felt like a really well-written show. We read this one. We read this one. It says, I feel like things are coming together for stories to finally move stories forward and use more of the talent. I do too. Now, listen, there's one thing that I noticed. And listen, it says a lot about this show. Me and Alex don't do 80-minute reviews very often anymore. When Hobbs and Archer were in the ring, there's been a lack of meat in AEW for the last year. Need more meat because the crowd is there for it. Need more meat. Guys, now we have our interviews across all platforms. We're on all podcast platforms. Please leave us a nice review on Apple, on Spotify, on all that stuff. We have FightfulPods.com, which has all of our podcasts there. But we've been dropping a ton of interviews. We got Ricardo Rodriguez tomorrow, which is going to be a lot of fun. We had, at the same time, Masha, Ash by Elegance, John Skyler, because I hit up TNA and I said, hey, I found out these three people re-signed. And they said, bet, why don't you interview? And I said, which one? They said, all three, same time. Okay.
Wow.
Let's do it. We had Down Under the Ring interviewing Darby Allin and Kyle Fletcher. We had Bobby Lashley, Thunder Rosa, Big Justice, Big Boom AJ. We've got, we had over 300 interviews this year, guys. Mm-hmm. So check that out. Where's Wardlow? Any word on him? He is injured. That is the
He's injured, unfortunately.
Wardlow on Wardlow. He's been injured for quite some time. First off, as we hop off here, I want to thank NordVPN. I want to thank Manscaped and, of course, Netflix. Until next time, we are out.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.